Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Metzia Daf Lamed. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Mark Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the top line of Daf Lamed. We continue with the general topic of care of a found item. On the side, we have a topic heading which reads Tipul b'metzia l'tzorchei u'l'tzorcha. Care of a lost article, where your intention is for the benefit of the article and at the same time for your personal benefit or personal gain. An example, and we mentioned this in our previous shiur, is if a person had found, let us say, an article of clothing and it happened to be an expensive type of garment, and you are airing it out for the benefit of the garment, and also at the same time hoping that people will see it thinking that it's yours and impressing the public as one who possesses expensive articles. The Gemara, regarding someone who found a garment, it says, Shaitcha litzorcha, avolo lichvoido. You're allowed to spread it out for airing it out for the benefit of the garment, that it doesn't accumulate mold, but not for your own honor. Ibayaloho, the question is raised. Litzorchoi u litzorcha mai. Let us say you're spreading out the garment for airing purposes for your own honor and for the benefit of the garment at the same time. What is the din? The triangle marking that you see is featured on the side under our mivneh, our structural note, where we've indicated these are nisyonos, the triangles as you see in the next number of lines. They're attempts lochiach doser to prove that the dual purpose or dual intention would be forbidden. Now the Gemara, Toshma Shoitcha Litzorcha. The Mishnah says you can spread it out for the benefit of the garment, and we can infer Litzorcha in only if it's exclusively, your action is exclusively for the benefit of the garment. Ha Litzorcha U Litzorcha Lo. But if it has that dual purpose, its benefit. Tzorcho is your own benefit, and tzorcho the garment's benefit, that would not be allowed. Well, Amos Seifa. Continue the reading of the Mishnah, and what do you see? It says, Avolo lichvoidoi. You cannot spread out the garment if your intention is for personal gain. Lichvoidoi hu delo. The restriction is only if it's for your personal gain. Ha litzorcho litzorcho shapir domi. But if it would have that dual intention, shapir domi, it would appear then to be allowed. You notice we've dashed, underlined the word ha. Our intention is to highlight the points of inference. And as you look at your Gemara, you see how the inferences actually contradict one another. The initial inference was to prohibit it. Here, we seem to allow it. This happens from time to time throughout the Shas, and the result in the Gemara is almost inevitably Elomeha Leko Lamashmina. From here, meaning from our Mishnah and trying to draw inferences, you cannot come to any conclusion. So that the Mishnah is to be read at face value without trying to draw inferences. Namely, if you're doing it for the garment's benefit, it's allowed. If you're doing it for your own benefit, it's not allowed. Toshma, lo yishtachena, lo al gabi mita, v'lo al gabi mogud, litzorchoi. You are not to spread out the found garment on a bed, nor on a mogud, on a hook, for your own personal gain. Aval yishtechena al gabi mita v'al gabi mogud letzarcha. But you are allowed to spread it out on the bed or on the hook for its benefit, for the garment's benefit, to prevent mold. Nizdamnu loy orchim. Visitors came to your house, and you have in your possession a found article of clothing. So now you have the public present. Lo yishtechena, lo al gabi mita, v'lo al gabi mogud. You are not to spread out the garment at that point. Bein litzor choy, bein litzor choy, whether it be for your own gain or for the garment's benefit. Now the thinking is that we've created a situation of duality, of dual intention. In other words, when company is there, when you have friends over, that is not the time to spread it out, because by doing so, you're gaining personal pride and benefiting the garment. So that the thinking is that this is an example of Lutzorcho, Lutzorcho, and the source says it's also is prohibited to do it. The Gemara rejects this and says, Shiny Hossam, that case is different. The Mikla Kolila, you're in effect burning it. In other words, the visitor situation is worse than simply spreading it out in an area visible to others. Why is this worse? And why is it considered as if you're burning it? Now, burning, of course, doesn't mean literally combustion, but it means destruction. Imishum aino, imishum ganvi. Two possibilities. One possibility is you are setting it up for the influence of the ayin hara, the evil eye that's cast by people with, we'll say, miserly intentions or miserly composure. That's the ayin hara, the evil eye. So here you're exposing it to people that are in your immediate vicinity, who are your guests, who might have that characteristic about them, that type of personality, and that has an influence. And there are several other Gemaras in the Shas that point this out. So one is to be wary of the exposing things to the eyes of the jealous. That's one possibility. And the other possibility in explaining destruction is Imishum Ganvi, is that one of your guests might be a thief, and they might be enticed to stealing it. So, as we said, that's not a sufficient proof for a general prohibition of dual intention exposure of garment. Ta Shma. Here we have a source that deals with the Eglo Arufa. The Eglo Arufa, without getting into detail, but it's part of a ritual ceremony in the event that a murder victim is found between two cities. The closer of the city's elders bring a calf and break its neck, and the whole procedure is described in Maseches Sota. For our purposes, though, the calf that's suitable for that ceremony, for the Eglo Arufa ceremony, is a calf that never served in a work capacity. You never used it for some kind of work effort. So the source says, Hichnisa l'revoka v'dosha k'shera. If you inserted the calf into a brace that holds several animals together at the same time, that's a revoka. And when you did that, the animal also threshed some grains. It trampled on grains. the animal remains kosher. However, b'shvil shetinok v'tidosh psula. If, however, you put it into this brace for the purpose of it suckling and for the purpose of threshing, Rashi across from here says, v'im b'shvil shetinok v'tidosh shehoisa ima dosha. The mother animal was threshing grains. V'ichnis es abas l'shom shetinok. And you put the calf into a brace so as it should be able to now suckle from the mother that was there, and you also had intention that it should thresh grains at the same time, it renders the calf unfit for egla rufa. I want to read Rashi three lines above where we said Shera. When in the first case in this source, you put it in the brace and it happened to thresh, you didn't have intention for it to thresh. There it remains kosher for the egla rufa. Now the Gemara points out, v'ha-ha-ha, in the seifa of this source, the litzorcha litzorcha, who you see a dual purpose, the katani psula. And it renders it unfit. So we want to extrapolate from the case of Egla Rufa to the case of to other cases where we are concerned with a wrongful form of behavior done simultaneously with an acceptable form of behavior, specifically our case of caring for a lost article, and say there too it would be unlawful. The Gemara says, "Shiny Hasam." The case of Egla Rufa is different. It is governed by scriptural references. The Omar Kro, the pasuk says, "Asher lo ubad ba mikomakom." An animal that was not used for work purposes at all. So, as a result of the, we'll say, the scriptural constriction imposed on the Egla Arufa, there where you see a dual intention, it is rendered unfit. Well, Ihachi Afilu Reishonami, if the Pasuk is governing the acceptability of Egla Arufa, then why in the Reisha is it kosher? Is it not true that it did an act of threshing? So the Gemara answers, note we have a long answer. Ha lo damya elo lahadisnan. The Reisha is parallel to another area of Torah law. And the other area of Torah law concerns the Pora Aduma, the red heifer, which is, many of you are probably familiar with the existence or the phenomenon of the red heifer, the red cow that's slaughtered, burnt, and mixed, its ash is mixed with water for purification purposes. Those who are defiled to the dead need that procedure. And the laws regarding what would render a Pora Aduma unfit are quite restrictive. They're almost identical to the Egla Rufa. In fact, there's certain very fine areas of law where the Pora Aduma standard is even more restrictive. But for our purposes, we see in the case of the Pora Aduma the following Tanaic source. Shochan Ola Oif Kshera. If a bird settled on the back of the Pora Aduma, and again, we emphasize the Pora Aduma, if it's used for any form of work purpose, that would render it unfit. If a bird settled on its back, the red heifer remains acceptable. Kshera. Ola ola zohar psula. If a male, in attempting to procreate with the red heifer, the male cow arose upon it, that would render the Pora Aduma unfit. Rashi across from here says, Ola Olel Zocher Psula Shinemar. The pasuk says a Shelo Ola Olel Il, that there wasn't a yoke that arose upon the cow. Then it would be kosher if no yoke went upon it. V'tanyan, and we're taught oil ainli ala oil. The pasuk says oil. Am I to restrict the disqualification to a yoke alone? B'masechah sota. That's where it's discussed. V'hai, and there the Gemara goes on to say, and that Bryce quoted that no, not just a yoke, but anything else that rose upon it, and it the red heifer supported it, would render the cow unfit. V'hayif nisal revoka v'dosha, the case by the egla rufa that we had a few lines up in the Gemara in the framed section there, putting it into a brace and it happened to thresh, the lo nicha le ba, you were not I don't know what to say. Maybe nicha literally means you were not satisfied with it. You were not seeking out. You had no intention for that. That is shdamio l'shochna la'if. That's parallel to the case here by the red heifer of a bird settling on its back. You had no intention. It was not something of any interest to you. That kind of phenomenon doesn't render either one of these things unfit. So that in response to the question, where on the one hand the pasuk said Hashelo ubad ba, why then in the reisha by the egla rufa does it remain kosher? Because it's similar to shachan ala oif by the paraduma, and we continue with the analysis. My taima, why is this kidder Rav Papa based on Rav Papa's analysis. The Yom Rav Papa, Iksiv Ubad, Vikarinan Ubad, had the Torah said by the Eglo Arufa, Sherlo Ubad, and the word in the Torah appeared, Ayin, Vav, Beis, Dalet, and we would read it as such, Ubad. Have Amino, I would have thought, Afilu Memela, even things that happen on their own, without my doing anything proactive. Even memela, it would be rendered unfit. The iksiv ayin beis dalid, had the word been written as in fact it is, without the vav, the karinon ovad, asher lo ovad ba, that's not the way we actually read it, but had that been the way, Have Amina, then I would have thought ad de ovad ba ihu, that it does not become unfit until you do something proactively. However, neither one of these are the case. Namely, it's not written ayin vav beis dalid, though it is red ubad. It is written ayin beis dalid, but it's not read as ovad. Hashtuk dichsiv ayin beis dalid. Now that the writing is in using those letters without the vav, which conveyed the idea of proactive, and the karinon, however, we read it as ubad, which is something passive. How do you resolve these two forms of the word? In other words, how do you resolve our approach to the verse? Bo'inon ubad dumya de'avad. In order for the egla rufa to become unfit, you would have to have a situation of some kind of, let's say, passive action. Passive meaning you're not action done or something done without your taking the initiative. That's what we refer to by passive. But similar to the ovad, ma ovad de nichalei, just like when you do something proactively, you are satisfied, you are desirous of it. Af ubad de nichalei, so too, the passive outcome has to be something that you are happy with. Only then would it become unfit. So that when something happened without your intention, it's like the case of a bird landing on the back of the paraduma. You have no intention for that whatsoever. So that doesn't come under the classification of nihale, of something that we would classify as your being happy with. Just to repeat the main point, you had absolutely no intention for that outcome. And there's no indication on your part that you are happy or satisfied with that particular outcome. And I might add, even if the outcome is something that is of a positive nature, but since from your standpoint you had no intention, and it appears to me also no satisfaction, it remains kosher. Now, just for the main purposes of our discussion, the attempt to show that Lutzorcha renders it unfit, and likewise by the found garment it would be unlawful to care for it when you have a dual intention in mind, that cannot be derived from the Eglo Arufa, because the Eglo Arufa, as we said, is governed by a scriptural reference, and hence it's limited to that realm, and we don't extend it to the topic of caring for lost items. Kli kesef u'kli nechoshes mishtamish bohen v'chulei. Tonu Rabbanon. The topic heading that we have here on the side reads, Mitzios mechoymorim shoinim v'tipulon. Found articles made of different materials and how you are to care for them. The Gemara, Hamotze, Kli'etz, if you find wooden vessels. Mishtamish bohen b'shvil shelo yirakfu. You can use them with the intention that the wooden vessel should not rot. And that's the way to afford proper care. Use with the intention of avoiding their rotting. I think it's fair to assume that leaving a wood vessel without any use would be subjecting it to rotting. Kli nechoshes, copper vessels, mishtamish bohen bechamin, you can use them with hot water, and Rashi adds certainly with cold temperature water. Avoloi al yedei ha'ur, but not to place the copper vessel on the fire to boil up water, mitnei shemashchikon, because that will erode them. Kli chesef, mishtamish bohen b'tzoinen avalo b'chamen, mitnei shemash chitron. Silver vessels, you can use them with cold, not with hot, because the hot will promote blackening. Magrefois b'kardumois, shovels and axes. Mishtamish bohen b'rach avaloi b'koshe. You can use them with soft materials and not with hard materials. Mitnei she mafchison, that will diminish them. The use of them with hard materials will cause diminishing of the shovel or axe substance. Klizav klizuchuchis, gold vessels, glass vessels. Lo iga bohen ad shovel, do not handle them until Elijah the prophet comes to reveal who the owner is. Kederech shamru baveda, kach omru bepikono. As we have described by a lost article, the care for a lost article, so too with regard to an entrusted article. The Gemara asks, pikadon mai avidite gabe, if you're a shomer, you're hired, employed to watch an item. What business does the shomer of an entrusted article have in using it. The idea of using it is anathema to an entrusted article. After all, with an entrusted article, there's an owner. If he wants to ensure, he wants to make sure it remains intact, so he will take care of it and do whatever is necessary. The shomer is basically hired to prevent theft or loss, but the idea of the shomer using it, where does that even come into play? And yet this source says, as we said by Aveda, and in Aveda, we saw the use of the different items with their respective restrictions. What relevance does that have to an entrusted article? Omar Rav Ado Bar Chama, Omar Rav Sheshes, Bepikadon Shehochu Balein L'Medina Seyam. The reference in this Tanaic source to a pikadon being parallel to a found article is with reference to an entrusted article where the owner has gone overseas. In other words, the owner is not around to care for his item. So in such a case, then, the shomer is expected as part of his watching it to also provide this kind of care. Motzo sako kupo v'choldover she'en darkoi litol hare ze lo yitol. The topic heading that we have here is Mosai on the side of our Gemara, Mosai potim lachzer avir. Under what circumstances would we say that one is exempt from the obligation of returning a lost article? The Mishnah made reference to one finding a sack or a large box or any other thing that it's not your way. It's not your way in transporting it, in moving it. So then if that's what you found, you're not obligated to take it and care for it. Meno hanimili detonu rabbonon. What is the source, the scriptural source for this rabbinic teaching? So it says in the pasuk, the source, the Tanaic source that we open up with, that we continue with, opens up with a pasuk v'hisalamta, and on the side of the Gemara we have the entire pasuk. Do you see in the margin Devarim Chof Beis Pasuk Aleph? It reads, Lo Yisira Es Shors Ochicha Oy Es Seyo Nidochim V'salamto Mehem Hashev Teshivim Lochicha. You shall not stand by and watch your brother's ox or sheep in a quandary, in a Nidochim, in a lost state, and hide yourself from it. And ignore it. Rather, you must return it to your brother. What we just did is read the pasuk with its simple meaning. What the oral tradition does, it quotes from the pasuk, and because the rabbis had, I call it the keys of scriptural analysis, they had the code, if you will, in how to punctuate and how to vowelize verses. I don't say we know how to do that, and we certainly nowadays don't engage in this kind of scriptural activity. You need an oral tradition for that, so that they take this word v'hisalamta from the pasuk. And I would say they give it a meaning that's almost contradictory to the simple reading of the verse. It's way beyond our scope of understanding how they do this, how their tradition operates. But we, as students of the oral tradition, accept this, and as a result, the word v'salamta, taken, we'll say, out of context, meaning out of context of the simple reading of the pasuk, is now understood to be an instruction on its own. V'salamta means, and you shall avoid it. You shall literally hide yourself from it. You shall ignore it, the lost item. Pe'omim she'ato mis'alim, u'pomim she'ato mis'alim. At times, you're allowed to misalim, hide yourself from it, ignore it, and at times not. Ha-ketzad, how do we resolve this or make sense of this or apply this? Ha-yakayin, v'hi b'veis ha-gvoros. If the lost article, let's say an animal, the cow that seems lost, is in a cemetery, and the one who notices the lost animal is a kayin. A kayin is prohibited to defile himself to the dead, to overshadow graves, etc. So you have, on the one hand, you have a lost cow. On the other hand, you have a kohen. Or you have an example of a lost animal, and the one who finds it is a sage, is an elderly, distinguished individual, and it's not within the honor accorded to such a man to expect him to drag a cow through the streets till the stable in which it can be watched. Or loss in income that you'll experience by tending to the lost article would be greater than the value of the item. So then you're not obligated. You're not obligated to, let's say, suffer such a loss. Lekach nemar, it is for this reason that the pasuk says v'salamta mehem, given one of these examples, you have the Torah approval. Because of this pasuk, you have the Torah approval of ignoring the lost item, the lost cow, and hence not fulfilling the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. The Gemara now analyzes the interplay between the three examples and the scriptural exemption, the Salamta Mehem, as it applies to these three cases. The diamonds that you see in our marked Gemara are explained on the side under our Mivneh heading, where we've written Nisyonos, these are attempts, Lanos al Sheila, to answer the question, L'may itzterich kro d'v'salamta mehem, why do I need the pasuk, the scriptural reference, to exempt? Why do I need the pasuk? Oftentimes, we have conclusions that we can reach based on logic, without the need of a verse in the Torah. And when that arises, we, generally speaking, assume that the pasuk is not coming to reveal to us that which I could have figured out on my own. So we're asking here, we have three examples of exemption from mitzvahs Hashavas Aveda, and we seem to base it on the pasuk. But what do I need? What exactly do I need the pasuk for? If you're to suggest I need it for the first example, the kohen and the cow is in a cemetery, and the kohen, we say, is exempt from returning the cow. Pshita, that's obvious even without the pasuk of his salamta mehem. Why is it so obvious? Hi, I say, v'hai loisase v'ase. The mitzvah Shavas Aveda is a positive command. The issue of a kohen defiling himself involves two commands. One negative, where the pasuk says lenefesh lo yitamo, and there's a positive command involving kohanim preserving their purity. It says kedoshim yu. So if you were to think that the kohen in this case would be obligated to return the lost cow, that cannot be. Because of another rule, velo asi asay, the positive command of returning a lost article does not arise v'dochi es lois asev asay and cast off, push off, overrule, supersede a command that is both negative and positive. V'su, and furthermore, lo dochinon isura mekami mamona. The topic here is a topic the topic of restoring a lost article is in the realm of financial matters. The financial realm. Rules that govern the ritual area are not pushed aside by financial considerations. And here we have a financial consideration, and there's no basis for thinking, even without the pasuk of Yisalam Tamehem, that the financial concern of restoring a lost article would supersede the realm of Isur, the realm of ritual concern, as is the case with defilement of the Kayin. So we don't push off Isur in favor of Mamon. So I don't need the pasuk of the Salamta Mehem to exempt the Kayin in the case of the animal in the Beis HaKvaros. Ela, maybe I need the Salamta Mehem L'sheloi Meruba Michel Chavero. For the third example, where the loss that you, as returning the article, would sustain is greater than the value of the item being returned. And in such a case, you might think that the pasuk Islam the Maim says you don't have to experience or subject yourself to that greater loss. But that's not so. I don't need the pasuk Islam the Maim for that. That point, Midrav Yudah Marav Nafka, that could have been derived from Rav Yudah's teaching. The Yom Rav Yudah Marav, the pasuk says, Efes ki, we continue at the top of Amud Beis, Lo Yeh B'Choev Yoin. And we learn from this pasuk, which exhorts the population not to subject themselves to poverty. Shelcha Kedim L'Shel Kol Adam. Your financial welfare has precedence, has priority over everyone else. Rashi at the top says regarding the pasuk, "Lo yeh b'chayev yon lo savi atzmecha lidanius." Don't do actions. Don't behave in such a way that you bring yourself to impoverishment. And by expecting a person to sustain a greater loss than the value of the item that will benefit the owner of that item is not something that you are expected to experience. So I know that point without v'hisalamta mehem. Elo l'zokein ve'eno l'fi kvodo. The pasuk of v'hisalamta mehem gives license for a person to preserve his own dignity at the expense of not returning a lost article. And that is the v'salamta mehem then becomes the source for the teaching in the Mishnah of Motza Saka Kupa V'chodov She'en Darkalita Reze Lo Yitol. Omar Rava Hikisha, continuing in the theme of someone who has a high level of dignity that he ordinarily would preserve. However, if that person hit the lost cow, and the hitting of the cow would be with the intention of having it start walking in the direction of his home, where it could then be cared for and returned to the owner. If the zokein did that, then chayav ba, he becomes obligated. If he would ignore it completely, not get involved, as they say, fine, he has a right to that. But if he starts the process of returning it, even by doing something as minor as hitting it with a stick, that obligates him to go all the way, even though it's going to compromise his dignity. Abai havi Yosef kamei de rabo. Abaye was seated in the presence of Rabba. Chozo lahanoch izi dekaimi. And he saw some goats standing there. Shokal kolo v'shoda behu. He took a clump of earth and tossed it at the goats. Omale ichaivis behu kum adrinu. So he said, Well, by doing that, you've now become obligated to go all the way, complete the mitzvah of returning them. The Gemara starts with a continues with a long question. On the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading: Darkei lahachzir besod ve'ein darkei lahachzir be'ir. Here we're dealing with a person that has a, let's say, a middle level of dignity. What do we mean by a middle level of dignity? We're describing a person that would be embarrassed only amongst his friends, but in private, as a case of an open field with no one around, he wouldn't hesitate to care for the animal. What is the din in a case like that? So we continue with a long question. Ibayalaho, the question is raised. Darkei lahachzir besod ve'ein darkei lahachzir be'ir ma'ut. It is this person's way to return. When we say to return, it means to drag an animal, let us say, by a rope in a field where there's no one around that will be a source of embarrassment for him. However, he would be embarrassed in the Be'ir, in the city. So it's not his way in the city. And he found the animal in the fields. What is the din? Mi amrinon hashov amaya b'inon. Do we say that when the Torah expects you to do return, it has to be a complete job? And since it's not his way in the city, he's not obligated, because he would be doing then only a partial job by starting to drag it, to lead it through into in the fields, and then in town he would have to stop because of his dignity. And therefore, don't start. Or maybe basode mihas hu dechayev lei, in the fields where he found it, he is obligated. The cave on dechayev lei basode chayev lei beer, and since he became obligated in the fields, he then becomes obligated even in the town. Teku. So this remains unresolved. Omar Rava, Kol Shebishalo Machsir, Bishel Chavero Nami Machsir. The Kol Shebishalo Porek Vitayin, Bishel Chavero Nami Porek Vitayin. We can say, as a general rule regarding these two points, that you're expected to do unto others as you do unto yourself. So, Kol Shebishalo Machzir, if you would lead your own cow or drag your own box in public, so you'd have to do that to your friend's item. Porek V'Toein has to do with Torah laws that command us how to deal with animals and their loads, their burdens. Porek is a situation where an animal is, we'll say, overloaded, and it's crouching on the ground because it can't stand under its load. So you, porek, are to relieve it of its burden. Toein is a situation where a beast of burden had a load on its back, a reasonable load, and the load fell off, and you are expected to restore the load to the animal's back. Similar to the issue of Hachzora Saveda, the issue of dignity arises here too. Would you tend to your own animal in public, either porek, reduce its load, or load it up? If that be the case, so then b'shel chaver onami porek v'toin, you would be obligated to do the same with regard to your friend's animal that's in need. Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi, havi ka'ozil b'urcha. Rabbi Shmuel was on the road, Ploga Be'ahu Gavra, and some man met up with him, Havadori Paschot Ufi, and that man happened to be carrying a load of wood. Ufi are logs or wood. Osvinu V'komispach. He put them down, and he grunted. Mispach is here where he put them down. Rashi said to rest. Omar Le, the man said, Doli Li, load them up on me. Help me load them up on my back. Omar Le, Rabbi Shmo, Rabbi Yossi, a great rabbinic figure, said, Kama Shavian, how much is the wood worth? Amalei palga dezuza. So the man said, a half a zuz. Yohiv le palga dezuza v'afkira. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi gave the man the value of the wood instead of his helping the man up with his load. V'afkira then declared the wood unowned. Or, if you will, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi in effect bought the wood from the man by paying him its value, and then he renounced ownership of it. That's afkira, hefker. Chodar zocha behu, and that very man then repossessed after you declared it unowned. So he decided to claim ownership to that wood. Chodar, and now the man, after reclaiming ownership of it, wanted Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi to help him up with the load again. Hadar Yohiv Le Palgo Dezuza V'Yafkira. Well, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi didn't want to compromise his dignity, so he paid him the half zuz again and renounced ownership. Chazia Dehavaka Boy Lemader Lemizge Behu. Rabbi Shmuel noticed that the man was about to do the same thing again, to take possession of it again. Omar Le, Rabbi Shmuel declared, Lekule Almo Afkirinu, I renounced ownership in favor of the general public, but with regard to you, it's not hefker. Meaning, with regard to you, I am the owner of it, and you have no right to take it. Gemara asks, is this, we'll call, qualified renouncement effective? We have the following source. It says, Beishamai says that declared or renouncement of ownership, declaration of hefker for the poor alone, is effective. Well, Beis Hillel Omrim, and we're more concerned with the opinion of Beis Hillel, that represents the accepted practice, the accepted law. What does Beis Hillel say? Eino hefker, partial declaration of hefker is not effective. Ashiyeh hefker l'aniyim l'ashim kishmita, until you renounce ownership in a general form, general inclusive form, as is Shemitah. Shemitah being the sabbatical year where all produce is available to the public. There is a general Torah renouncement of personal ownership of produce. And Hefker, that we do pattern Shemitah. So what was Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi trying to accomplish by telling this this man, it's hefker to everyone except for you? Ela Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi l'kulei alma afkirinu. In truth, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi's declaration of hefker was inclusive, was for everybody. Uva milsa be'alma hu de'ukmei, and he simply tried to fend off this guy with mere words. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi wasn't telling this guy a real point of law, but he saw that this guy is a problematic character. He's trying to take advantage of the rabbi, so he fended him off with what he said, but not that represents actual law. It shows how you deal with lowlifes or with cheats. The question the Gemara asks is, what was the whole need for Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi to offer the man money? He was a sage, a man of high esteem, and it was beneath his dignity to load up this man with his burden of wood in the first place. And as a result, he is not obligated to do so. Why then did Rabbi Shmuel have to offer the man money to buy it, etc.? The Gemara says, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi lefnim mishuras hadin hu da'ovad. Rabbi Shmuel was going beyond the letter of the law. He was accommodating this man in a way that the letter of the law wouldn't have expected of him. D'toni Rav Yosef. We have a Tanaic source in which a pasuk from Parshas Yisro, Shmos Perak Yud Ches, is explained. The pasuk is broken down into its component parts. And on the side of the Gemara, we have as our subtopic heading, Hanhoga Lifnim Mishuras Adin, behavior beyond the letter of the law. U mekora ba pasuk voidato lohem es haderech asher yelchu bo vesamase asher yasun. That's the pasuk in Shmos. So now we'll break the pasuk up into its component parts. And what does each phrase teach us? So it says, "V'hodata lohem ze beis chayehem." Rashi here says that's a reference to an obligation of one to be taught. The public is obligated to learn a trade, a method of providing for themselves an income. It's pointed out that Rashi in Maseches Bava Kama addresses Ze Beis Chayem and says that this is a reference to the public's obligation to study Torah. The source goes on, Es HaDerech Zu Gemilas Chasodim. Yelchu, Gemilas Chasodim, of course, is the obligation of practicing acts of loving kindness. Yelchu Zu Bikur Cholim, the mitzvah of visiting the sick. At this point, that might seem a bit redundant. Is it not already included? Is visiting the sick not in fact included in as an act of loving kindness that we already saw one is obligated to pursue? Gemara will raise that point. The pasuk says, Bo, zu kvura. That is the burial of the dead. Vesamaaseh is in the pasuk, zehadin, the obligation to establish a legal process to practice behavior according to law, and asher yasun zu lifnim mishuras hadin. That's the expectation of going even beyond the letter of the law, trying to accommodate your fellow man beyond that which is expected by the letter of the law. Now, the points mentioned in the source are reviewed by the Gemara. Omar Mar, a quote from the source, Yehu Zebikur Cholim. The Gemara asks, is it necessary to have a special drosha instructing us to visit the sick, Hainu Gemilas Chasodim? Is that not itself an act of loving kindness that was already accounted for in the pasuk by the phrase Es HaDerech? The Gemara answers, Lo, Nitzrucha, no. It is necessary to teach Bikur Cholim, Elo Leben Gilo, when the visitor is of a ben gilo. We saw this phrase recently in our Gemaras. He is born under the same mazel as the sick man. He too is obligated. Would you have thought otherwise? Well, the Omar Mar, it is taught, ben gilo noitel echod mishishim b'cholyo. When the visitor is someone that is born under the same mazel as the sick man, the tradition is that the visitor takes from the sick man, absorbs in himself 1/60th of the ailment that the sick man is suffering from. So you see that the ben gilo, this visitor, is actually subjecting himself to, albeit a very minor level of affliction, if you will, vafilu hachi miboyele lemezal gabe, and even so, you are obligated. This area of Ben Gilo and absorbing 1/60th of the ailment, in my humble estimation, these are ideas that go beyond a health laboratory and test tubes and whatever else. It might very well be in a different realm of spirituality, but for our purposes, where we're learning the Gemara on a simplistic level, what we said is more or less the point of the Gemara, that even though as a Ben Gilo you're subjecting yourself to a type of setback, a minor setback, you're obligated to visit the sick. So visiting the sick in the case of the Ben Gilo is beyond the general command of Gemilas Chasodim. Bo Zukvura, we mentioned that in the source above. Well, once again, the burial of the dead, Hainu Gemilas Chasodim, is that not in fact an act of loving kindness? Why? A special reference to Kvura? Lo, Nitzucha, no, it is necessary to be taught. Ela Lezokein V'eino Lefi Chvodo. When it comes to the burial of the dead, even if you're a man of dignity and you might think that you're compromising your dignity by digging a grave and putting a body in the grave, nevertheless, you are obligated to do so. So that I need a special reference for kvura, where it involves the practitioner who is a zoking, and ordinarily it would not be within his dignity to stam to go simply dig holes in the presence of others. But when it comes to burial, we have that expectation. And once again, I would not have known that point by a simple reference to the general expectation of practicing gemilus chasodim. The source said, "Asher yaasun zu lifnei mishus hadin." The Omar of Yochanan. Lo chorvi Yerushalayim elo al shedonu bo din Torah. Very surprising statement at face value. Rabbi Yochanan says that the reason Jerusalem was destroyed is because they practiced Torah law. The Gemara says that's the reason for the destruction of Jerusalem. Elo dinei de Megisto ledainu. What do you expect them to follow the Megisto legal system? Rashi points out that Megisto is the way of judgment of other nations, where they afflict the litigants and impose legal rulings in a forceful fashion. Is that what we're expected to do? What do you mean by saying that Jerusalem was destroyed because they practiced Torah law? Eloima, rather, Shehemidu Dineim al Din Torah, Velo Avdu Lifnei Mishuas Hadin. The comment of Rabbi Yochanan describing the destruction of Jerusalem is as a result of their settling disputes in accordance with the letter of the law, and not going beyond, and never going beyond the letter of the law, trying to accommodate the person in need. There are many situations in life where a person might be found guilty and have to pay and compensate by letter of the law, but that very individual is impoverished, is ailing, is incapable of offering immediate compensation, and hence there is room for accommodating him with let's say delaying the payment, spreading the payments into multiple payments, or what have you, which is going beyond the letter of the law. The letter of the law would say, if you're found guilty to pay, you have to pay the full amount right now. That's letter of the law. But a society that restricts itself to letter of the law and doesn't accommodate by going with lifnei mishuas hadin, so Rabbi Yochanan says that's reason enough for discontinuing that society. The Mishnah. Eizu hi aveda. On the side of the Gemara, before we continue reading further, we will be discussing here klolim bezihui lefi matzavo she hadover nechshav aveda. Identifying an item according to its status, according to its current state, trying to identify it as whether or not it's lost. We're presenting this as a very general topic applying to lost articles. It would be easier for us to pursue the Gemara focusing on lost animals. And in fact, the examples that the Mishnah gives are of lost animals, and the entire discussion of the Gemara surrounds that situation. So the Mishnah asks, what is a way for us to determine the item, the animals being lost? Motzo chamor oipora royin baderech ein zu aveda. If you find a donkey or a cow, royin baderech, you'll notice with our markings, we've used different types of underlining under specific words. These become key points of analysis later in the Gemara. So we're going to, already at this early point, when we're learning the Mishnah, we're going to throw out, we're going to suggest concepts that you'll see play a central role in the Gemara later. So here, if you found a donkey or a cow, Royin means grazing, baderech, on the road. So you have two elements. You have the animal's behavior or action, and you have location. These two points, Royin, baderech, would show us that Ein Zu Aveda, the animal is not lost. In other words, Royin Baderech, we would consider a normal appearance of animals that are owned. The owner is aware of where his animal is, what it's doing, and you don't get involved. You don't have to try to restore it to its owner. Everything is fine if it's Royin Baderech. The two points are, we call two positive points, by way of action and by way of location. However, chamor v'kelav hafuchim, if you see a donkey and its accoutrements are upside down, hafuchim are reversed. In other words, you see a donkey wandering around with a saddle that's inverted. Or para rosa ben akromim harezu aveda. Here we use the same type of underlining, highlighting the word rotza, it's running. That's in contrast to roin, to grazing. And bein akromim, it's running amongst vines. Hare zu aveda. That would be characteristic of it being lost. If you see a cow running amongst vines, then take hold of the cow and bring it to a stable where it can be watched until its owner reclaims it. The Gemara will spend a fair amount of time on, we'll call them interim cases. In the Mishnah, we see, you can say, two extremes. Everything is positive, it's not an aveda. Everything is negative, namely you have both the action of an animal running and location in a vineyard, two negative considerations, then it's an aveda. What happens if you have just one negative consideration? Imagine it's running on the road, or it's grazing, it's amongst vines. What would the din be then? From the Mishnah, as we've read it, we don't know that. We go on. Hichzira ubarcha. Hichzira ubarcha. You returned the animal, and it escaped. And you found it again, lost. Hichziro bocha, returned it again, and it escaped. Afilo arbo b'chamisha p'amim chayav lachzira. Even if this repeats itself numerous times, literally in the Mishnah says 4 or 5 times, you're still obligated to return it. Shenemar, the Pasuk uses a double expression, Hashev Tishivim. That's in Dvarim Perek Chof Beis, Pasuk Aleph A, Pasuk that we've made reference to recently numerous times. So the double expression would seem to be telling us that the repeat phenomenon is not a reason for exemption, but you remain obligated. Hoya Botel Misela. In attempting to return a lost item, so you are not you're not continuing with your own personal income, with your own personal work. You stop your work in order to tend to the lost item. Lo yomar lo, you are not to tell the owner when he comes to reclaim his article, you know, I lost a sella. Sella is a coin, a level of denomination, of level of currency. You don't tell the owner, tainly sella. You know, I lost a sella for my work to tend to your item. Give me a sella. Compensate me for the full amount of money that I lost by tending to your item. That's not the way. Ella, noisein loy schoroi kepoil. The Gemara will explain this in greater detail, so we'll just leave it aside for the time being. But one thing we can say, even at this point, is that the returner, the machzir aveda, cannot demand full compensation, but rather schoro kepoya, which for our purposes represents partial compensation. If you're wondering why, as we said, wait for the Gemara. Im yesh sham beis din, if in your vicinity there is a court, masne b'fnei beis din, you can stipulate in front of the court. What do we mean by that? So we take a look at Rashi. Im yesh sham beis din, the Rashi that we're looking at is about a quarter of the way from the bottom of the Rashi commentary. He says, if there is a base in there, im noyach loy l'troyach yoiser, kidei laharbois schar, v'eino chofetz libotel mimalachto, ma yaseh. If a person would prefer to engage in his own form of income, which is l'troyach yoiser, it involves more effort than returning the lost article, but as far as you're concerned, it's more worthwhile for you to sweat away at your job to make more money, and as a result, he doesn't want to avoid or he doesn't want to leave his own work for the time being to care for the lost article. So, a person like that, what should he do? So Rashi goes on, im yesh sham shlosha bnei adam, if there is a group of three people there, that constitutes a court. Yasne b'fnehem v'yomar. He states the following stipulation in their presence and says, Re'u, shani mistakir kach v'kach. Look, I have this thus and thus income. I make a lot of money per hour. Vi ifshi libotel, litel schar muat. And I can't compromise my high level, we'll say hourly income, for only minor compensation, for partial compensation, for tending to this lost article. Ani ashiv im tomru she'etol schar mushlam. I'll return the lost article if you tell me that, if you, the court, will tell me that I will get full compensation for my hourly income. So that's an option that exists. However, im ein sham basin bifnei mi yasne, and if there's no court there, so in front of whom should he make this stipulation? Therefore, shelo kodem, in such a case where it's not worth your while to take off from your work because of the great loss, so you don't have to do so and continue your own income, your own occupation, and leave the lost article as it is. The Gemara asks, Otu kol hani de amrinon lav aveda havu? The Mishnah opens up with a seemingly limited, restrictive remark by saying, Ezohi aveda. I'm going to suggest that we look at the language of the Ritva. We've included this on the bottom of our Gemara page, where you notice we have a little footnote, and we call this Loshon HaRitva. And first we'll read the language. Pirush, the Ritva explains, Kosaka Daitach Dehochi Komar. The initial thinking is that the Mishnah is saying as follows, Ezohi Aveda Shechaiva Torah Lahasir. What is the lost article that the Torah expects you to return? Para v'roya ben akromim, a cow that's grazing amongst vines. U'mishemhachi parach, and because of that thinking, as that is the intention of the Mishnah, the Gemara asks, v'chizu bilvad chayav la'achzir, is that the only item that you're obligated to return? A cow that's running amongst vines? Obviously, no. We've already learned the majority of this perek, and you saw how many other cases of Hashava Saveda one is obligated to fulfill. Uporek the Hachi Komar, and the Gemara then continues with what the real intention is. And now, that having been said, we go back to the Gemara. Let's read from the beginning. Otu kol hani damrinon lav aveda havu. By the Mishnah opening up and saying, Ezohi aveda, you're creating the feeling that what is the only case that the Torah expects you to return a lost item? And with that in mind, we ask, and all other cases of lost articles are not considered avedos? Omar Rav Yehuda ha'ochi komar. Rav Yehuda says, thusly, you are to understand the Mishnah. Ein zohi klal aveda shehu chayav ba. What rule can we say about animals that without any additional information, simply by looking at the animal in its state of being, we can conclude that the animal is there without the owner's knowledge, i.e., the animal is lost. So, what is a rule that we can say by which you can determine whether an animal is lost? So, to that we answer, Motza chamor upara royan baderech, ein zu aveda, velo mechayev bo. If you find a donkey or a cow grazing along the road, that's not an aveda, and you're not obligated to get involved with it. Chamor v'chelev afuchim, pora v'rotze ben akromim. If you find a donkey with inverted accoutrements or a cow running amongst vines, harezu avedo mechayev bo. That is an example of an animal that's lost, and you have to return it. The Gemara asks, ul'oilom, and forever. What does that mean, though? We go to Rashi. Four lines from the end of the Rashi commentary. Ula oilom bitmiha. You read that with a tone of wonderment. V'chi af im yimtze'eno sham la oilom. If you see, let us say, a donkey or a cow grazing on the road, and you see it there all the time, are you going to say, nomar midasi, that that's the owner's intention? That's his will. V'chiderech shelo la'achnis. Is it normal not to have animals brought into stables? So the Mishnah that establishes an animal that's grazing along a road as not an aveda, does that include even when you see the animal always there? Omar Rav Yehuda Marav ad shloisha yomim. So Rav Yehuda qualifies this time-wise. Grazing along the road is not an aveda if you see it up till 3 days like that. But beyond 3 days, even if it is, in fact, grazing along the road, It's an aveda. Hechi domi. And now we're going to descend into finer resolution of what Rav Yehuda Amarav is saying. This din of 3 days. What are the circumstances? And here we have a double underline to highlight the various possibilities to figure out when does the 3 day standard apply? E belelusa, if you're dealing at night, namely you see an animal at night grazing along the road, afilu chada shaita nami, even 1 hour like that, it's lost. In all due respect to the fine behavior, it's grazing in the fine location along the road, that is a lost animal. And that would not be classified as something that's not an aveda. If it's by day, afilu tuva nami lo, even more than 3 days, an animal that you see grazing along the road would not be considered a lost item. Where did the 3 day factor come in? Or the 3 day time frame come in? Lo tzricha, no. It is necessary for Rav, Yudom Rav, to teach me 3 days. You notice the animal over a course of 3 days, in the kadmasa in the early morning hours, cheshkasa at the time of dusk, and we say as follows: Tlosa yomi amrina nisramuya yisrami lo v'nafka. Over 3 days like that, at those hours, it just so happened that the animal went out and was. My understanding is the animal was released by the owner to graze along the road. However, tfei, more than 3 days, vadai avedahi. If you notice an animal grazing along the road at the early morning hours, the hours of dawn or the hours of dusk, more than 3 days, the animal is lost. Tanya nami hachi, and we have a Tanaic source that supports this Amoraic teaching of 3 days. Motza talis v'kardim, if one finds a talis, a garment, or a kardim, an axe. We continue at the top of Daf Lamed Aleph. Bisratya. Bisratya is a public road, Rashi says, Derek Kvushal Arabim, a road that's traversed by the public. Uporo rotso bein akromim, or you find a cow running amongst vines, harezu aveda. That is a lost cow. Talis bitzad geder, kardim bitzad geder, if you find an article of clothing by a fence, or an axe by a fence, upara roya bain huasovim ein zu aveda. Or a cow grazing amongst the grasses, that is not an aveda. Gimul yomim zachar zeh harezu aveda. However, if you see it like that 3 consecutive days, now, you notice we dashed underline that because that's the main purpose of citing this source. Then it would be an aveda. Mayim shesheifin uboim hare ze goder b'fnem. If you see a stream, a flow of water that's threatening a field with inundation, you are to build a fence in face of the waters to protect the field from inundation. As we read on in the Gemara, Rashi takes pains to point out that this that which Rav is about to say is not a direct continuation of the Tanaic source we read. Even though, as the Gemara goes on, you'll see there's a level of connection, but it's called Milsa Bapi Nafsha. So we read Rava as an isolated statement for the time being. Omar Rava. The Pasuk says, L'chol avedas ochicha. There in Dvorim Perek Chof Beis, says, and you shall do thusly to all lost articles belonging to your fellow man. L'rabois avedas karka. To include land that would otherwise be a loss, suffer a loss. So Rava says from the pasuk of the Chol Avedas Achicha, we learn that you are to help prevent a person from experiencing a land loss. Omar Le Rav Hananya Le Rava Tanya de Mesaye Aloch. There's a Tanaic source that supports your teaching. And lo and behold, we're quoting from the source we just read. Ro'o mayim sheshayt finuboyim. A person notices a flow of water that's threatening someone's field. Hareze goyder b'fnem. You are to fence it up. Fence up the field, preventing the inundation. Generally speaking, an Amora is only too happy to have a Tanaic source supporting his point. But more often than not, you'll find the Amoroim are preoccupied with truth, with honesty. Though it's convenient to have a Tanaic source supporting your point, Rava though responds and says, Omar Le, Rava says to Rav Hananya, I mishum ha lo tesaye. If because of this Tanaic source, it does not support my teaching. Hacha b'mayaskinon, here in the Braisa, what is it dealing with? B'di'ika oimrim. It's not just preventing a torrent of water inundating a field. It's a field that has within it sheaves of grain. Omrim. Itika Omrim Maila Memra. Well, if it's a field with sheaves of grain in it, then what's the need for having a brisa to specify that case as you're having to save it? Is it not just just another case of all lost articles preventing loss to your fellow man? Why do I need to feature that case that case specifically in a Tanaic source? Lo tzricha. No, says Rava, it is necessary, because when I spoke about that source dealing with sheaves of grain, it's the isba imim the tzrichi la'ara. They're grains, they're sheaves of grain that still benefit from continued growth in the land. Now the pshat that we're giving is based on what I saw in the Ritva, whose language is tzrichi la'aro ktsas, dealing with grains that are growing in a field that still need the attachment and hence nutrition gained from the field, as opposed to fully ripe grains that need now to be harvested. No, the source is dealing with a field threatened by inundation, and in that field are grains that still benefit from the ground. You ask, well, isn't that a standard case returning, preserving lost articles? So mahu detema, without the Tanaic source, I would have thought, kevan detzrichi la'ara, since they still need their attachment to the ground, kigufa da'ara damion, they're like ground itself. And as far as ground itself is concerned, without Rava's pasuk, without that pasuk, and just the Tanaic source, I would have thought it's like ground and there's no obligation in preserving ground. And sheaves still growing and need their attachment to the ground is like the ground itself. Komashmalon. So the Braisa reveals to us that you need to save the field in which you have growing grains. Ah, as far as saving a field itself, Avedas Karka, from inundation, which would ruin the ground, that's not covered by the Braisa, says Rava. That is covered by the pasuk that says L'chol Avedas Achicha. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.